Jones, and Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, Jones refuses to stand for the national anthem, wonders about people who gamble with their career, and doesn't want to pay Apple's taxes.
This is Jones and Mike. Jones, I was thinking we should start off with a new tradition. I probably should have talked to you about this before the show. We could vote on it in real time before everyone. Can we start a new tradition where we start every show with the national anthem?
Oh, God, that would be so uncomfortable.
Now rise for Jones and Mike's national anthem.
Are you
for that?
I think if we cut it up and hip-hopped it up a bit,
maybe.
Are we
going to beatbox the national anthem? You can't do that.
Well, I don't know. Like, you go to a baseball game, it's a very old-timey experience. I think something like that fits. But this, after Jones and Mike, after you hear Bruce Buffer.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get pumped up. You're ready for the greatest show.
Oh, wait. This doesn't pump you up?
Well, let it germinate.
Here we go. It's like a barbershop quartet.
It is. They're very harmonious.
You actually are one of those.
Still there.
Ooh, you know it.
Oh, say does that star.
Yeah, Jones.
Banner.
Oh, I'm sitting. I should.
I sat. I didn't mean to sit.
The land of the free and the
nice.
No auto tune. Oh, wait.
Oh. Oh, wait. It's going on, dude. What is this? It's kind of like when I hear like a Christmas song and all of a sudden there's like another verse that I never knew existed.
It's verse, chorus, verse.
That's right.
It's the mystery track off Nirvana.
That's right. Great song. Right. Great song off of No Alternative, that little known AIDS benefit album from like 1994. Good job, Jones.
Yes.
Now, this week, everyone's all riled up because, an athlete won't stand for the national anthem. And this happens like every 10 years. Like, doesn't anyone remember the last time we talked about this? When it was Maroof, what's his name? Abdul
no,
Maroof.
I think there's got to be someone who's done it since then. But the one who really got it kicked off was Mahmoud Abdul Raouf.
Nice. I like how you do the. Yeah, Chris Jackson was his name, right?
Yes.
Basketball player.
That's
good,
right.
And a good one, too. Better
former
at basketball.
Former All-American.
Yeah. Like, he was, averaged like 17 a game, I want to say, off the top of my head.
In the NBA, yeah.
Like, a good guard. And he, did he not put his hand on his heart, or did he actually sit on the bench?
No, I believe what he did was he waited in the tunnel. If I remember correctly, he did not come out during the national anthem.
Oh, and,
now,
and was
we,
he already Mahmoud back then? Was
I
that
believe
the problem?
He was Mahmoud Abdul Raouf.
Mm.
But now we're dealing with a different, something very different altogether, and that this latest incarnation of protest is one Colin Kaepernick, who is just now, first he was sitting, now he is choosing to kneel.
Which that seems like it's a happy medium. It seems like some people took that as it's a little bit of a nod because a kneel is kind of a sign of respect.
Yes, and he said he did that because he wants to pay homage to the armed forces. Yet he goes around wearing socks that have like pigs on it with like cop hats. So.
Yeah, kind of incongruent that message. But yeah, so I wish he wouldn't have like backed down at all. Like if you're gonna if you're gonna take
somebody's bad advice or you're going to dream up some horrible idea. And the reason why I think it's horrible is there's really no like graceful exit from it.
No, there isn't. There isn't, because he's saying, I'm going to continue to do this until there's significant change.
Yeah.
But there will always be a new story. So he's going to be sitting forever.
You got to like have
during the national anthem, because when is it going to be like, oh, well, now it's notably better than where it was before?
That's right. Like, you got to give yourself an out somehow. Like, these are my three demands. I want Goodell to give money to this organization. I want there to be, you know, whatever your demands are, there has to be some sort of a quid pro quo that you announce.
Well, that's the thing. There's just no achievable for him. And that's, I don't care that he's doing it. I don't really have a problem with it. I kind of, it's interesting the reaction that people are having towards Colin Kaepernick. You know, I was talking to a few people this week and they were saying, well, you know, here's an idea. Rather than just sit during the national anthem, why don't you do something about it? Do something about the situation. And I was like, well, what can he do? Like, he can only bring attention to it. And if this protest is bringing attention to a situation that he's seeing that he's concerned with, that's all he really can do. And then this notion that, well, that's not the right time and place. It's like, well, then if you really want to step up and say something, when is the right time and place? The same thing with Beyonce now. She's doing a lot of militant stuff in her concerts. People are having a problem with it. And it's
Well,
then you don't go. If you don't like it, then you don't go. I know a lot of people are even saying in that scenario, like, well, you're just supposed to be going, you want to hear all the single ladies, you want to hear songs and just have fun. That's not the place. Don't do it on the VMAs. It's like, well, then when is the right time for them to address this issue or put out this message? And the reality is when white people aren't around.
Yeah. We just don't want to see or hear your discontent.
Right.
And that ultimately, I think, is probably the root of this issue. Why people are so... They're not riled up about the national anthem. I think that they're riled up about a black guy telling them anything.
I think that has a large part to do with it. Now, I do believe that if there was a white guy that was putting up some kind of protest during the Star Spangled Banner, a white athlete, that there would still be an issue. There's no question that would still be an issue. But, you know, you take... Like, you know, when Rage Against the Machine, for how many years would go out on tour and they would put an American flag upside down? And you didn't... I have to imagine if that was some all-black hip-hop act, that would be
Yeah, I don't really mind that
story.
Since that's like the maritime symbol for, like, distress, right?
Right, but I mean, they were obviously...
And that's
obviously,
cool.
But
it's
when
like,
you, I know,
save America instead of bring down America. It's like, no, America's in trouble. We want you to save it.
I know, but I don't think anybody in any of these scenarios is saying bring down America.
No, I don't know. I think that people view, like, BLM, Black Lives Matter,
okay,
as like a revolutionary group.
Okay, but what I'm talking about is these celebrity expressions. I don't think Beyonce or Colin Kaepernick is saying bring down America. But when they speak out about something, I do think white America takes that as bring down America. Because Colin Kaepernick, a lot of people that were critiquing Colin Kaepernick all week were going right back to the same old line of, well, if you don't like it, then leave it.
Then leave it.
And I've seen white artists and athletes make protests, and they haven't been met with that same, well, then get the hell out.
Yeah, I don't mind when an artist like Bey speaks out. I kind of feel like that's the role of music and art. But there's something about when an athlete does it where it's like, just shut up and throw the ball. But does he have a point? Let's get to the bottom of that next, Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I've found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance. performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
The song is called Anthem Part 2 by Blink-182, Jones. Did you see what I did there?
You're really good with this stuff.
I know.
You put a lot of thought into it.
I did. I put seconds of thought into that. It just kind of worked out that way. So when I worked in country radio, there was this woman that did middays, and she, after 9/11, she took to playing the national anthem every day at noon. The whole thing. And it was like a 9/11, yeah, like, you know, let's all rally around the flag thing. I thought it was so weird.
They still do it.
Really?
US 99 still does it.
It's so
every
strange.
Every day at noon.
I felt like it was pandering. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you're so tacky. Like, what is that?
I know. They do it, still do it.
Like,
every
do these,
day.
Like, huh? I feel well, like you got, like, that's kind of bumpkin-y for you to, like, for you to dig that.
It is, but you know what? It's hard. You know, you were talking, how do you escape? Where's the escape plan? You know, on some of these things, like Colin Kaepernick sitting out during the national anthem. Like, how does he eventually get out of this conundrum? It's almost the same thing with US 99 playing the anthem. Like, how do they get out of it? Because the split second that you go, you know what? We don't really need to play this anymore. Let's just go into some Brian song. Then everybody's going to be like, whoa, where's the anthem?
Yeah.
Why'd you stop?
Oh, you hate the United States.
It's the same. You watch a newscaster, the split second they decide not to wear a lapel pin, an American flag lapel pin.
Yeah.
How come no American flag pin? No.
Well, there are times when it does look noticeable. For example, at the Democratic National Convention in Philly, like on day one, they didn't have any American flags. And it was only starkly contrasted with the fact that people in the crowd had like Soviet Union flags. And they were waving those around.
I know, but so those like, are those second. People. I'm talking
well,
about
I understand
like,
that. Those are the lunatics that go to conventions. But then on the dais, no American flags. And it was kind of like, it's just a bad look sometimes. But then today I'm in the store and for Labor Day, there's, you know, bunting everywhere, like red, white, and blue bunting everywhere. And I'm thinking, like, why is this an inherently American holiday? Like, it just feels like a lot of the times people are, they're just pandering to a certain subset of humanoids by rolling out Old Glory or a song or whatever. But it doesn't really mean anything to them. It just means, like, they think that you're going to dig it and they're trying to sell you something. And meanwhile, like, you know, this idea that, like, Colin Kaepernick is flying in the face of the military. When I hear the national anthem, I don't think, like, this is paying tribute to the men and women who have given their lives in the ultimate sacrifice for my freedoms. I don't understand how he's insulting the military. It would seem to me that, if anything, it's like there's a natural breach between him and, like, police officers.
Yes.
But I don't understand why it's inherently anti-military.
I know, but I...
to not stand for the national anthem.
Well, I think deep down, if he could do it all over again, he would. But I think he knows that I've doubled down enough. I still have to go fairly whole hog at this thing if I'm going to somehow maneuver my way out of it. I just can't step out of it. So clearly I'm anti-police. But if I can say I'm pro-military, that might take some steam out of the kettle. That's where I think Colin is coming.
Yeah, and meanwhile, it's like you're not necessarily inherently, you know, again, his socks, choice of socks notwithstanding, you know, I've been calling for, you know, hey, cops, stop killing people for a long time.
Oh,
like,
no,
just because
absolutely.
You politely ask or even overtly demand that police officers who drive vehicles that say serve and protect, when you demand that they don't break your neck during a traffic stop or they shoot you in the face when you're clearly, you know, prone on the ground, that's not anti-cop. That's anti-bad cop.
Right. However, Colin has made a few mistakes. The
he
socks
seems dumb
being
too.
Part of it.
He seems real
well,
dumb.
You know, and here's the other thing. The hair. you've got to. It's the afro is very. It's very. It's two things. It's either very festive, or it's very militant.
Dude, that's crazy to say that.
It's true, though. It's true.
No, I love that he went afro.
No, see, he's okay. Well, he's covered in tats. Covered.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Then he's got the crazy afro. Now, if you're trying to get your message out there, you gotta play the game a little bit. If you were, I've heard this idea expressed by Ben Stein, and it kind of hit home right away, in terms of playing the part, dressing properly so you don't kind of confuse or muddle your message. If you are going to have someone write your life insurance policy, would you rather them be in cargo shorts and flip-flops or a suit and wingtips? I thought so.
Yeah,
you know, like,
but he's just an athlete, dude. Now, I'll say that he did the afro, I believe, because the rap on him is that he's not black enough.
Well,
and I think that comes from black people, and I think that's ridiculous, but his name doesn't sound black, and he comes from, like, I think he has white parents.
I think he's biracial.
Okay. And so I think
he had adoptive white parents.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not positive on that.
Yeah. And just the name Colin, it just doesn't sound, he doesn't sound black, so I think that the afro was kind of a natural branch out from that.
Okay, but isn't that ridiculous even on its own? Like, all right, I'm half black, and I have this message that doesn't even necessarily have to be exclusive for blacks.
No, it shouldn't.
But I should wear this afro just so the world knows I mean business.
Well, just so they know that I'm even black.
But that's ridiculous.
No, I like no, that he I did think that. It, I think no, if I, it, I think all black people should, if you can, you should grow an afro.
If you're trying to make a point,
I hear they're impossibly hard to upkeep.
An afro.
I heard you have to pick them out all the time.
Yes, it looks like it's just hellish work.
I don't blame you if you don't, but I would. I would make every effort in the world, and I would sit around and I would aggressively pick it out in front of white people, just so you saw me. So,
I just don't think that's going to help getting the message out.
As I'm writing people's insurance policies.
Right, right.
Now, this idea that he's right, there are a lot of black people who are like, yeah, it's a racist song. And I went, it's a racist song? Isn't the song about how, you know, Francis Scott Key wrote this poem about the Battle of Baltimore during the War of 1812, where... like the British burned down the White House during that war.
It's the Battle of Fort McHenry, which was in Baltimore.
Thank you. And the whole thing is you're looking out and to see if Old Glory is still flying at the fort.
Right.
And you see that Old Glory's still there. And I don't know what a rampart is, but somehow
the rampart is like the protective wall of the fort.
So somehow that played into the whole thing, but the poem seems like, cool, there was a war and we stood our ground. Yay, America.
Right.
How is that pro-slavery?
I would have thought the same thing until, and I love when this happens, when there are these mysterious omissions and additions into traditional songs and pledges. For example, it wasn't until the 1950s, like God being in the Pledge of Allegiance. That was added in the 1950s.
Even the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't even think that existed until the 1950s. Isn't that correct?
No. It existed before then. It existed for 60 years before then, but it didn't have the word God in there. They added that in the 50s.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, when they went to eliminate it, everybody was like, whoa, 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 how could you do that? It's like, well, no, the pledge for a longer period of time did not have a God reference in there versus having the God reference. I always think that's interesting when you're talking about additions and omissions.
And that sounds like they put God in there to differentiate ourselves from the Soviets
that
were like
that
godless.
That was the idea.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Now,
I got that one right.
Now, with the Star Spangled Banner, I, like you, was like, what? What are you talking about? It's a song. I don't quite get it. There is a... Have you heard all the verses in the Star Spangled Banner?
No, I thought I did.
I bet you have not. Because the third verse, at the end of the third verse, it goes, there's lines that go, no refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave or the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, what they were referring to, because later and after when we were trying to put together a peace treaty with the British over the War of 1812, the British had taken a number of our slaves and freed them. And we
wanted
those slaves as part of the peace agreement returned.
Oh.
Or we wanted to be compensated for that.
Oh.
So it is kind of funny when, like, isn't it amazing that this song is such a patriotic song? Before every sporting event, we go out there and we spout this thing out. And yet none of us are ever taught the mysterious third verse that talks about the terror and the flight of the hireling and the slave.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they could wind up in a grave.
Oh, my. Wait a second, though. Is this a thing in the black community where they know that? Or did Colin just get lucky here? Where all of a sudden some learned men and women in the media went, you know, he's got a point, and here's why. And he went, whew,
well,
thank God.
There's no way for me to know that. There's no way for me to know it. Now you're seeing articles that are popping up about it. But it is kind of interesting that, you know, how does this happen that we can grow up in this country? We're in our early 40s, and we don't know the whole Star Spangled Banner. If someone... Before I saw this information and someone said, do you know all the words of the Star Spangled Banner? I'd be like, yeah, of course. I've known them for like 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, then they're talking about hiring a slave and, you know, winding up in a grave. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So I do think that that's something that we do need to be a little... When you hear someone expressing some level of discontent, I think that's just a further example that maybe we need to hit... pump the brakes a little bit and let someone complete their thought, because there's information out there that you may not realize. In the same, you know, previously when I was talking about speaking with someone earlier this week, and they were saying, well, you know, why doesn't Colin actually just get up and do something as opposed to talking about it? My point was, look, by talking about it, he's doing something. Like, what else can you do preemptively other than to shine a light on it? And quite frankly, until people started shining a light on it, I never would have believed this stuff. I mean, yes, I would say, yeah, on occasion, I'm sure there's some crazed cop who does something bad. But when you're seeing this happen fairly routinely, and I don't think the police are at fault in every instance, but it definitely is happening more than I ever, until the advent of a camera phone, it's happening a lot more than I ever would have believed.
Yeah, I like that meme that, you know, says basically, like, you know, cops aren't killing or hurting more people than ever. It's just that they're finally being filmed doing it. And that's all really all there is to it. Although then you get it politicized, where guys like George Soros, who's the dude behind Barack Obama and the dude behind Hillary Clinton, he's giving like $30 million to Black Lives Matter. Meanwhile, like, he's on record for having fomented internal strife around the world. So you start to wonder, like, is Black Lives Matter and all of this cop on civilian stuff, is it part of some sort of a divisive campaign? And then I start going off the reservation in a way that you don't like.
No, I'm open. I'm open to that, that there are people, as long as we're divided and confused and at one another's throats, it's easier to get away with things that you want to get away with. So I'm completely open to that. I mean, I think you're more in the tinfoil hat further along
watch
than me. But before you was even postulating the idea that are there racist bots out there on YouTube where, you know, something...
That was my idea.
I thought I had it first.
No, well, we'll replay the tape. But that was me saying, no, people aren't really this racist.
But that's, I thought that I was saying, I think you had said, you had put out the idea of racist bots. But I said, I thought I was the one who said, you know, I don't feel like that's real. I think there's something at work here where all of a sudden just these, like, horrible things about black people get spouted out.
The worst. Just the worst.
Over nothing. Like, there's a cute baby video with a black kid in it, and then you see the worst stuff ever on it.
That's right.
I just don't think there are that many white people just sitting
there
like...
That hateful. No. I mean, white people are angry. There's no question. But they're not. I don't think that they're that... It's that many of us. It's like a very... It's just a few very loud people with a whole lot of different email accounts.
Right.
And then there's bots. So what are... Quick, rapid fire. What's his out? Like, he gave $1 million to some, like, racial group that helps people that have been, I don't know, abused by the police or something. And he, like, it's his first $1 million he's going to make this year. Which, you better watch out, bro. I have a feeling you're going to be out of a job soon.
I do, too. But, you know, here's the thing. And I don't... He has made enough money to not worry about it. Now, I don't know what he's done with it. That's his cross to bear. But, I mean, the guy, even though they're non-guaranteed contracts in football, that guy's got to be sitting on $30 or $40 million. You know,
man.
So he's not really worried about this. If I'm him, I just think you got to ride it out. I would say.
Does he ever stand for the anthem again? I don't think you can.
No, you can't. You have to kneel. You have to kneel every time now. But if you want to try to, get out of it, where it's like, okay, man, I do not want to get side-eyed and booed in every single bar and restaurant I ever go into. Okay, while you do have to continue to kneel during the Star Spangled Banner, get a haircut.
Yeah,
apologize
that's
about
racist.
The sock thing.
That's racist.
I don't look. You asked me how he needs to get out of it.
Get a haircut.
And I'm telling him. Yeah, you don't. You can't go around. No, you can't go around
wearing your afro.
You can't go around with an afro and
yes,
kneeling during the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes, you can.
And not. You're talking about how does
and
he get out
all
of
your
it?
Tats.
And
cover
how does
those
he get
up.
Out of it? Like
basically, you want him to whiten himself up.
Not necessarily.
You look too thuggish.
No, but the afro is a militant look. The mohawk on a white guy
is
a very aggressive look. Yes.
Sure.
So if this was a white guy with a mohawk that was doing the same thing, if it was like Chuck Liddell, the former UFC champion, and he was like, man, I said some stuff, there's anarchist and blah, 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 I'd be like, the first thing you got to do is grow out the rest of your hair, Chuck. That's the first thing you got to do.
That's right.
Clean up a bit. Now, if he doesn't care being the revolutionary, then yeah, go with the afro. And maybe we're going on different gradations of how do you get out of it. Do you mean how does he get out of it by he will be able to stand during the Star Spangled Banner again? Because I don't think he can.
No, he shouldn't
now,
ever again.
Yes. Now, if you're saying how does he get out of it, as in how does he win people back over? Because he was a likable athlete.
I think if he plays well, this all goes away.
I don't think he might never get that chance. But even if he does play well, I think it's going to – playing well will help. Sadly, that will help because people are just like, hey, beat a woman, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
do whatever you want. Just play sports well and we'll like you. But outside of playing well, apologizing about the socks and going, okay, that was a little juvenile, but I do have a larger point to make, and getting a haircut, those would be the two biggest suggestions I would make. Hey, look at Ryan Lochte. The guy looked like an idiot in Rio. When he came back, what was the first thing he did? Some PR person went, all right, we're going to wash out that stupid dye you have in your hair, and we're going to put some natural color back in there so you look normal.
Okay. Point well taken. And then we're going to put you on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. I don't think it's impossible to get Colin Kaepernick on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh,
an apology, a haircut.
Mid-season?
An apology about the socks, a haircut, and a run at Dancing with the Stars. I think it is out there.
All right. Now, also quickly, I need to know, do you believe the Star Spangled Banner should be replaced as our national anthem?
I was thinking about that on the drive out here. People have postulated that before, that it should be America the Beautiful. Because people have said, actually, in terms of song structure, the Star Spangled Banner is not a very good song.
Those
anyway,
are people. Those
but
are
I
people.
Do, that, yes, I think you should now eliminate. Now that I know about that third verse, I think you should eliminate it. I don't believe that the Confederate flag should be a part of any flag that's in a government office, and I don't think that the Star Spangled Banner should be our national anthem.
I don't think those are people that have actually heard this rendition. This is actually the greatest rendition ever.
Right now?
Oh, God.
Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, like an angel
like
from heaven above.
Like a songbird.
And she, and you know what? And she's so attractive, too. Roseanne Barr, so lovely.
She's bringing it.
She's paying homage to our military right now.
Okay. Oh. You see, now this is what I would do. I'd be like, Colin, are you listening? This was a white person, and listen to that crowd. That you've got to cut your hair. This is an issue that doesn't go away. What was the name of that Hispanic singer that did the World Series? He did in '68. He did the World Series. What was
I don't know. The guy who did Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, what's his name?
Jose Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano, when he did the Star Spangled Banner, and he just put the slightest
okay, so wait a
Latin
second, though.
Hint on it. And
one thing,
it, like, buried him.
One thing right here that's worth noting, Roseanne, at the end of that, grabbed her, like, her cooch, and then
that.
She spit.
Yeah.
And I think that that was what really teed people off. It wasn't that she, like, denigrated America or, like, flew in the face of the military or any of that. It was like that gesture at the end. But she, you know, it didn't really haunt her for at all. I mean, I think
it stayed around.
Because of white privilege, she was able to get on with things.
I know, but you still hear the reaction of those things, and that's my point to Colin Kaepernick. You still hear the reaction of those people, and Roseanne is white.
So, let me ask you this. At the Bears games, they do the flyovers, they do the veteran coming out in the third quarter. How much of this is the fact that the military, and it's been on record, the Department of Defense pays the NFL
for
these patriotic displays? Because there's a, you know, in my estimation, I'm just totally conjecturing here, but they have to be paying them because they know that so many testosterone-laden teenage boys are watching the NFL, and they want those dudes to feel patriotic, so they get on down on Monday morning to their recruitment office and they sign their name on the dotted line. How much of that is how much of this story is that, and how much of this story is also the fact that basically the NFL and the NBA, they're giant plantations. They're white guys owning, and there's black guys out doing the toiling. You don't want the black guys ever stepping on a line.
No, I don't. No. I don't get. I can't go that route with the owner and the plantation route for pro sports. That doesn't ever resonate with me at all. So I don't see it as that. I don't think the story is anything more than it's this black lives and blue lives matter, and then you have someone of color who is in a militant fashion speaking out about it. It just ruffles people's feathers. I think it's really just that simple.
Okay. All right. Well, these are all very meaty issues, and it's interesting to hear that there was a stanza that had previously heretofore been unknown to me about that song. Thank you for enlightening me and doing your reading.
Yes. I would like to just close out with, no refuge could save the hireling and slave. Oh, should we close out each show with the third verse?
Don't
That's the question.
It. Oh, Jesus. More shocking revelations to come next, Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, I've been making a concerted effort to find out more about the people that I work with this week. And the more I do that, the more I want to just be quiet. I just want to go back to my desk, and I don't want to, like, talk to anybody anymore. I don't think I'm cut out for the water cooler talk in the office.
Yeah, I'm all right with the water cooler talk in the office. I'm curious, what have you found out? Is there anything, one thing in particular, or it's just the whole back and forth banter? It doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah, there are generational differences sometimes that I just can't get over. For example, this week, all the millennials and the man buns in the office were agog because they literally did a ribbon cutting ceremony for this video game called Killer Queen, which I know is your Grindr handle.
Heyo!
Didn't mean to throw that in your face publicly, but I had to let you know that I knew.
Yeah, you'd been writing it. You'd written that down all week, so you had to use it.
So they rolled this video game in. I saw them when they were rolling it in. It is massive. It's 5-on-5, hot 5-on-5 action. 10 people can play Killer Queen simultaneously. And they rolled this thing in, and it was like the Ark of the Covenant. If that was actually something that had been found. I act like Indiana Jones actually did find that.
Right, right.
It was like covered in blue crushed velvet. They rolled it in, and then they kept it like in the corner of like this game room area. And then they actually, on Thursday, every Thursday, they do happy hour 4 to 5. They have craft beers and stuff. And then they did like a ribbon cutting ceremony and they put like a red carpet in front of it. And then people were like, there were like 30 people, like a throng of people packed around this thing. All of them wearing sweatpants and man buns.
Okay.
And so I can't really relate to these people on many levels. I was just walking by. I walk in, I get a Sapporo, and then I walk back out, and I shake my head like, no, damn kids.
All right. Well, hey, that's a step up, though. You are now comfortable enough at the office to grab a beer. You had said that you would not do that for a long, long time.
I know. I didn't want to be that guy.
Now you
yeah.
feel comfortable enough to grab a beer and smile and walk away. So that,
and then I go back to my desk, and I continue working, only now I'm drinking Sapporo instead of water.
So the video game room or whatever that is, that's your water cooler. My water cooler at the office, where I've had some interesting exchanges, is not a water cooler per se or at all, but the men's room.
Okay, that's weird.
It is weird. It is weird.
I don't
weird,
talk to anybody under any circumstances in there.
Everybody's talkers on the 26th floor, I'm telling you.
Oh.
So this week I was in the bathroom, and then I was having my proverbial water cooler talk with the guy
In the stall office. Next to me.
No.
Oh.
The guy in the office next to me came in, and this is a guy who has been just strangely, he's a business professional. Like, he comes in and he wears like the nicest suits sometimes. He's really well dressed, but he is growing out a mohawk. And it is, at first I thought like, oh, maybe that's just kind of a newer, edgier haircut. Maybe it's not, it looks like a mohawk.
It's better than an afro.
It certainly can't be.
But not by much.
No, it's way worse. Now it's gotten to the point where it is just like, it's like an arrow, like standing out of his head. Like it's a massive, it's several inches high. It's unbelievable. And I'm like, how is no one in your office pulling you aside and going, dude, you've got to cut that.
I've heard to cut that.
You can't walk around like that.
I've heard you've been several inches high recently. Congratulations.
That's just so...
Those little blue pills are working.
That's just so awful and clunky. And you just... You can't lay off that stuff, even when you know it's going to be bad.
I can continue.
But, so I'm talking to the guy with the arrow mohawk this week. And a couple weeks ago, he had told me, oh, yeah, I'm getting tired, man. At the end of the week, I really get tired because I play poker Wednesday through Saturday night. I go out to Empress Casino or
what?
Wherever he goes, and I play in cash poker games. And then I play till about 3 in the morning, and then I go home, and I close my eyes for about an hour or two, and then I get up, and I get dressed, and I come into work.
Oh, my God. How young is this guy? I die doing that.
He's not that young. I would say his early 30s.
Jeez.
Something like that.
Oh, my God. I need my 8 to 10.
So he told me this story, and it was kind of as I was walking out the door when he first told it to me, so I wasn't going to stop and really talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And it just seems so over the top, like out there and obviously like, what? That I don't want to point it out. I almost feel self-conscious doing that. So this was a couple weeks ago, and then this week I saw him in the bathroom. He's walking in. I'm walking out. I'm like, oh, how are the poker games going? He's like, oh man, August has been tough. August has been tough, but yeah, I'm still going every Wednesday and Saturday. I was like, yeah, you know, there once was a guy in our office that he quit to become a professional poker player. Now he does like all this World Series of Poker, Heartland Poker Tour, and this guy goes, That's my plan. That's my plan.
What?
In 3 to 5 years, I want to step away and I want to be a professional poker player.
I want to step away from this grind, this 9 to 5.
And I just
paycheck.
Thought, like, in the meantime, like, he's almost killing himself playing these late night cash poker games.
Yeah.
But I was like, how does one make that decision? It's one thing when you have a career and you go, you know what? I always wanted to be my own boss. I'm going to open up X or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But how does someone get to that point with, you know, wife and kids, and you go, here's the transition, and the transition is professional poker player?
Yeah, it just sounds so deviant.
It does. To a degree, it does.
Reckless.
But, like, how do you make that determination? It just seems like...
Seems like something you do when you, like, have a prison record and you can't do anything else.
Yeah, but these guys don't. These guys don't. I know, you know, of the people that have done it, I know a number of them they've had successful careers in terms of bringing in money and paying rent or what have you. They didn't need to play poker to do it, but then all of a sudden they just felt like the light's gone off. I'm a poker ace now and I can go do this. And it's just... You know, I think I'm a bit of a dreamer, and, like, I pursue my dreams. But then I see something like that, and I go, I don't even have an ounce of that constitution to go do that.
Meanwhile, like, that seems like such drudgery. I mean, the thrill of victory has to be incredible to get over the pain of spending 10 or 12 hours a day in one of those...
Oh, dark.
Horrible. Like those poker rooms in Vegas and stuff. Like, you know, you're in Vegas. It's not like you're at the Empress in Northwest Indiana. And even there, like, people are they all are wearing sunglasses and their earbuds, and they're not talking. There's no camaraderie. And even if there is, it seems like it's trash talk, and it doesn't seem fun. There's I think a certain mindset of somebody that, you know, would want to go into something like that.
Yeah, it's just, although here's the thing, like. I know you're saying a mindset to be able to go through that 12 hours of drudgery, but there's but there's some element of, like, this internal constitution, testicular virility, if you will.
Yeah, fortitude.
That will make you go do that. And it just...
So what is that? Do you think that that's like the thrill of competition? Like, is it that base? Like, I love competing so much that sitting at a desk, I can't compete the way I can here.
I would think it's one of two things. It is either that, or it is such a disdain for the regular 9-to-5 life and being in that maze that this is the way that you can do it. And there's a certain amount of fame that could come from it, or notoriety, maybe even a better word. If you were at a party sometime and you're talking to someone, you say, hey, what do you do for a living? I'm a professional poker player. That kind of stops everyone. You don't really care about the CPA that's standing next to you.
Hey, my whole family's a bunch of CPAs. They're lovely people. I think it's got to be a life where... You've got to have some low lows, dude. Like, you got to be able to... I don't view someone like that as somebody who can, like, put some money away for the rainy day when they're going to have a cold streak.
Oh, I think it's got to take crazy discipline to be able to do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think... I don't know. Maybe the larger side of it is, like, when you and I watch the UFC and we see these guys, like, working so hard to be, like, these champion mixed martial arts fighters. And so often these guys are, like, walking away with $12,000 for a fight.
Yeah.
And you figure you can fight, what, 2 to 4 times a year. So you're looking at $24,000 to $48,000 before taxes, before gym fees, before managers.
Yeah.
Before all of it. But... there's just that overall drive of maybe I've heard fighters say, what do you miss most when you step away from fighting? And I've heard them say, numerous fighters say, it's the lifestyle. That's what I miss. And what they mean by lifestyle isn't necessarily, I have a great car, I have all these women, I have all these riches. What they are saying is, I miss, you know, the schedule at the gym, traveling to Las Vegas for my fight, you know, all of the things that come with it. Perhaps a life as a professional poker player affords you that, because maybe you're working at the Empress for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you have a big tournament coming up in Los Angeles or Las Vegas or Miami. You're traveling around. There does have to be some element to it. I think it's a life that provides a buzz. That's got to be it. It's the buzz of being a professional poker player that would make you make that choice.
Yeah,
but what's the long view? Like we were talking about Colin Kaepernick earlier. How does he get it? What's his escape plan from this conundrum he's in? What is your out plan, your escape plan, your retirement plan when you're like a professional Texas Hold'em?
You've ever have to retire? Like you can be like 90 and still like rocking it, right?
You can, but I mean, would you really want to be traveling around like that late nights?
In fact,
flights?
Maybe like that's the best idea. It seems like there's tons of 90-year-olds in casinos. Seems like they like kind of like that place. Seems like that might be the best career path, actually.
That's actually interesting. I haven't considered that. But now when I kind of think what the crowd does look like at some of these joints.
Yeah, it seems like they're pretty at home.
Yeah. No, you might be right.
What's
the
difference? Now, socially, I think there's a difference. But what would be the difference between a professional poker player and like a day trader? Like if you're at a party and you're like, oh, I do day trading.
A day trader seems like business. You're talking about the economy.
But it seems like reckless business.
When you break it down, when you really slow it down and talk about it, yes, it is. It's gambling. It is absolutely that.
So that's the professional like side of the ledger, and then the more like outlaw side is being a poker player?
Although it seems like with day trading, I mean, who day trades anymore? It seems like there's all these automated systems out there that have really kind of shut that down and have shut down day trading.
That's what I've read. I've read that very few people can actually make money in the market now, like on their own. I know the TD Ameritrade and the Ricketts and stuff, they don't want you to know that, but it seems like only the big dogs with the algorithms and the machines and whatnot can actually get those trades in fast enough to make a buck.
So maybe that's what's making poker more viable, more attractive.
There's still a human element.
Yes.
The algorithms can't get involved that we know of.
Yes.
And so if you had your druthers, is there a dangerous or, you know, like socially dangerous or pariah type career path that you've ever thought of pursuing?
Like legitimately pursuing? Radio is as dangerous as I've gotten.
Oh, brother.
But, well, no. I mean, I kind of look at like professional fighters and I think, outside of getting your bell rung and being physically hurt, it does seem like it's kind of a cool lifestyle. You eat right every day, you sleep and you work out and you travel around, and it seems like it's kind of a good time until you actually have to get into the ring or the cage or whatever. That's where I couldn't do it.
Those dudes,
but everything outside
me.
Of it seems like it's kind of cool.
They strike me as like monks, like probably six fighters live in a place. They share expenses. They eat like, you know, they're not spending like crazy amounts of money going out. They just are in the gym every single day. And if they work there, then all the better.
Yeah, but there does seem there's kind of a romantic appeal to that. But, I mean, once you get down to the actual substance of what they do, I could not do that.
Yeah, I think my like socially interesting but kind of risky path would have been being like a musician, like in a band.
Yeah.
Like some sort of a regional bar band. Like depressing, right?
Right.
But like still like trying to make it. So are you saying that your buddy like is playing poker because he's trying to practice, or is how he like kind of is subsidizing his...
We're talking about a couple people. Are you talking about the guy with the arrowhead
mohawk? Well, the dude you were talking about who was doing the Larry Craig mohawk underneath the partition between the stalls.
Yes. He's trying to get better, and he's trying to begin to supplement his income where he can talk, kind of present it to the wife like, hey, look.
He's married.
He's married, and he has a new baby. He has a brand new baby.
That's reckless.
His baby's not even a year old.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Dude.
I guess I left that out.
Dude, you know that he has thrown his wedding ring up on the table in some games, some backroom games.
I should look for that.
Yeah, now
which will
you
be
have
creepy
because
now I'll
dude.
See him in the bathroom and he'll notice me looking at his left hand.
Do you have a wedding ring? Oh, I just was thinking about your poker career. Yeah. I'm wondering if
that mohawk. It's so
yeah. You have to study large. This guy's over this guy's like demeanor, his face, everything about him over the next 6 months. Study this guy. and see if the poker lifestyle is working out for him or not. See if you can detect when he's going on cold streaks.
Well, he said, look, I couldn't detect it yet, and he's gone through a bad month. So we'll see if August carries over into September for him, and performance-wise, maybe I will start to pick something.
But
up.
You didn't know. You didn't know. So like before, you thought he just had a meth habit or something. Now you'll know that it's poker related.
Right. Right. Now I'll be able to monitor that a little bit more closely.
All right. Well, I love how you think that this guy needs to get a haircut. Like, you're like the hair police.
No, I can't imagine that you're able to get away with that in a professional environment. I hear from my coworkers.
I'm outraged.
I hear from my coworkers if my pants look a little wrinkled. This guy's walking around with an arrow-shaped mohawk.
I think this guy's figured out how to game the system, and I think that when people figure that out, they rule the world. More on that next, Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
I guess the meek will inherit the earth someday, Jones, but for now, it's rich people. Rich people own everything, and they know things about protecting themselves that none of us, we can't even imagine what they know.
Can you ever imagine a time, though, when the meek will inherit the earth?
I guess it's after Jesus comes back, some blah, blah, blah. I've been told that the meek will, at some point, they'll get it all.
I think that's some rich guy telling you that.
Probably they were trying to sell me a dream,
yes,
yeah.
You're going to get your turn. Your turn's not now. But your turn is coming.
So your buddy that's like playing poker for a living and a guy that I think, I know him from grammar school and from high school, but I don't know him that well. And on Facebook, it seems like he has become a professional poker player. And I think that that's fascinating, too. He's got tons of kids, divorced, but still tons of, like, even more expensive when you're divorced.
What's tons of kids?
He's got, like, four.
Okay, that's
it. I think in this day and age, that's tons.
Yeah.
It's too many. And I think that, I think it's cool when somebody can break out of the box, or whatever box people put you in. Like, oh, you should sit at a desk, or you should work at a factory, or whatever box they want to put you in. You go, no, I'm going to do totally something that basically 100 years ago, I'd have to been an outlaw to do. I'm going to do that for a living. I think that's cool. And those people are kind of seizing their own destiny. I think that's cool. But for the most part, it seems like only connected people, politically or through wealth, those are the people that know the most. Like, you know some incredibly wealthy people. And I'm always like, dude, pick their brain. They have forgotten more about how to protect their assets and wealth than, like, me and you will ever know. So you're so close to them. Like, that's amazing. You're in, like, rarefied air in all the world just by being so close to people in that rarefied air.
I know.
So
How do you know that I haven't picked their brains?
Oh, well, then you're not sharing it with me, and that's fine. Okay. But, like, your eyes always glaze over, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like,
play it up.
Yeah, I guess that's your poker face.
Yes.
Man.
Let's do the quick math here. Which one of us is driving a Saab?
Yeah, and is has tenants.
Yes.
You have buildings
I'm a landowner.
And properties. Yeah.
Well, so good. If you're taking their advice, you're getting their advice, you're learning through osmosis, whatever way you're learning the way of the rich man, I love that. Keep it up. It'd be cool if you shared a little bit of it with me, because I suck at this. Clearly, I suck at this wealth stuff. But it'd be great if you shared some of it, because those people, they know how to game the system. And I'm not saying illegally. Like, I love when people, like, get on Trump's case because he, like, took, you know, he's filed for bankruptcy, for example. It's like, dude, he's taking the laws that exist and he's using them to his advantage. That's, I think that's fair. If you don't like it, then change the law. But don't criticize the dude for taking advantage of a situation. What's he supposed to do? Be like, oh, I'm a Boy Scout. I'm going to totally not take advantage of all these breaks that I can get because I know more than most people. There's a very well-to-do media person in town who lives in a very high-priced residence in Chicago, and it was revealed this week that she will be paying no property taxes because her husband is a disabled veteran, and apparently there's some loophole where disabled veterans pay no property taxes. Never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
So she is, you know, and I kind of, I quote from memory, I don't know what the exact circumstances is, but it, are, but it's something like that. And I'm like, and people are upset, and it's like, well, I don't know. Like
if
you would say.
That's fair for them, yeah.
Yeah, like you would say, no, here's my 14 grand on my residence on the North Shore. Take it. No. So I love it. I love that the most.
Well, I kind of... I do. There was that story that came out earlier this week with Apple. Okay. They have the European Union.
Gwyneth Paltrow's kid with Chris Martin. Love that kid.
The Apple, the computer manufacturer.
Oh, that is, one.
They are getting dinged by the European Union for $14.5 billion. Oh. And what the European Union is saying, you owe us for back taxes. Because I'm now learning that Apple is funneling almost all of their profits through Ireland, which has given Apple this sweetheart tax deal of like 0.00000005% or whatever it is. And
leave it to the Irish to screw themselves. It's victims for life.
Yeah, well, no, but I know that Apple has now employed a lot of people over there. That was a huge deal for them several years
ago. Yeah, all the
tech
companies have.
That they got, that they were building a number of plants over there. They were hiring a number of people over there because that is actually a very tech-savvy. I think it would surprise most people, but really in terms of the population, they're one of the most tech-savvy people in Europe. And
that's right, and good food. Never mind what you've heard.
I know.
Great food.
Better than what you'd think. Now, they've gotten busted, quote-unquote, offering this tax credit to Apple, and now the European Union is saying, hey, hold on, you owe us this money. Now, when I initially saw that they had this sweetheart, like 0.00005 taxes, you know, you're paying. I just thought to myself, like, oh my God, I would love to do that, man. Like when these celebrities just like a year ago got busted on all this Panama, a couple months ago, really, on the Panama Papers, and they were Leo Messi and
you know,
some
dad,
famous actors and actresses were like kind of hiding their money. My immediate reaction, people got really self-righteous about it and angry. I was like, I would totally do that.
Yeah, you would.
So I kind of get very pumped up and like pro tax evasion when I hear this stuff.
If you were Bono, now, you would totally move your publishing out of Ireland to Denmark or wherever you put it.
I know. The only thing is, don't be so
self-righteous when you're doing
like
that.
Like Leo Messi doesn't speak out about, you know, there were some actresses who were like doing this stuff. What was who was the one who was in Harry Potter? The girl's name?
Oh, Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
Of course,
Emma Watson. She's this big, you know, help the third world nation people. Oh. But then here, you know, she's like squirreling away her money. And it was just kind of, it's one of those things where it's like you want to tell governments what to do with their money, but you don't want to give the government your money. Same thing with Bono.
I didn't want you to take my money and use it for third world debt. I wanted your money to be used.
That rankles me a little bit when someone like Leo Messi is just like, look, man, I made 32 million euro last year. I want to hold on to all of it. I'm kind of like, you go do that. Yes. Now, the only thing that rankled me about the Apple story was it appears as though, even though they're about to be dinged for $14.5 billion,
uh-huh.
it looks like even if they are – and this will be wrapped up in the courts for years and years and years. But even if they're forced to pay all of it, it's still going to be the U.S. taxpayer that's going to wind up covering their $14.5 billion shortfall.
What?
And it's – yes. And that's where I'm like, okay, well, now I'm not cool with it.
How will that happen?
Because – they don't have to, so they owe the European Union $14.5 billion in back taxes.
Just say now, 14 they, large from
14
now on.
Large, 14.5 large, 14 large.
Thank you.
Now, when Europe comes and collects that 14 large, now Apple can go back to the United States and go, well, we've paid 14 large in back taxes over in Europe, so we get a discount off of our American taxes.
And there's some loophole that lets them do that?
That lets them do that, yes. It's called the foreign tax credit.
Yeah,
I know, but
that.
Then like they're hopping out of that, where it's one of those things where I could see where I think the U.S. government should be able to say, like, hey, man, that really sucks what happened in Europe. This isn't Europe. So you need to pay your can't give you 14 large. What happened to you over there? That blows.
Yeah.
We're not over there.
Euros. This is why.
You decided to go over there. You decided to date that person.
Yeah.
So now you have to deal with their like crazy smashing your windows in when you're not around. Like that. You made that bet.
She was hot. This is what happened.
We didn't, you know.
We were the girl that you bring home to mom, and now look at what happened.
Exactly. So that's where it kind of rankles me a little bit.
But now the girl that you bring home to mom still has to service her or them? That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
I don't like
that. That's the problem I'm having. Look, I'm all about tax evasion.
Yeah.
And you are too.
Yes, I am. Well, I want them to change the laws then. Like, for example, everyone's up in arms about the EpiPen manufacturers raising the price to like $600 for one of these. And the problem is, the biggest problem is that like people with kids with allergies, like allergies so bad that you could get anaphylactic shock and die, like they're required by law to supply their kid's school with an EpiPen. So like they've got to like pay out of pocket in some cases like hundreds of dollars now because of this law that was set into place. And that's what this company did. This company that had 98% of the market share for EpiPens. Like, they went out there, they laid the groundwork strategically, like, went to the lobbied Congress. Hey, this is a very important issue. Change the laws. And, of course, I don't know whether it's, like, through bribery or what, or the law of unintended consequences or what, Congress went along with it and said, yes, parents, this makes sense. Make sure your kids, their schools have an EpiPen. And so they laid this nefarious groundwork and then went, cool, everything's set, the trap is set, raise the price. And they did that. Now, I'm all for that, except for the fact that the law also allows for them to do what's called a corporate inversion. And a corporate inversion is when and pharmaceutical companies do this all the time. They merge with a European company that's in a jurisdiction like Ireland with a more advantageous tax rate and therefore circumvent U.S. corporate tax laws because our tax laws, our corporate taxes are out of sight. And so companies are constantly trying to skirt them. And because they're in bed with our lawmakers, they make the laws that allow them to do that. So in that case, it is kind of offensive where it's like, all right, dude, you guys are the makers and the takers. I'm all for rich people knowing like secret rich person ways for skirting the law and stuff. And when the law exists, use it. But it is a lot of little out of hand at times. There's no question. Okay. And me and you, it's like, it is kind of like Bono saying, oh, no, I meant you should spend your money on third world debt, not mine, or Emma Watson saying that. It is kind of like they're constantly saying, no, you little people, you're the ones who need to pay the taxes. We are going to figure out a way to get out of it. And that's so I'm kind of seeing that your side of it a little bit.
Yeah.
We need to change the laws, not like hold people that use the laws, you know, accountable. So those rich people making the laws, those are the ones we need to kill. Did I just say that out loud?
You did.
Oh, no.
You did.
Oh, God.
And we are recording. The red light is on. The red light is on. So, okay, just for clarity's sake, you sound like you've really thought about this. You have articulated your points very well, but I just want to
I'm confused.
Clear.
What is my stance?
I just... Well,
We need to change the laws, not... crucify the people that hold them. It is offensive but when the EpiPen people do that stuff, but it's
they're only
playing by the rules that were set for them.
I guess, but you still do find that offensive on some level that an EpiPen is now suddenly $600.
I find it offensive that there were lawmakers that put laws in place that allowed all of this.
True.
So all we got to do is change the laws. That's
true.
Simple fix.
But there was still someone, there was still some executive that went, I can live with that.
Well,
unfortunately, doesn't bother you a little bit.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that you need to know. If you are the head of a corporation that is publicly traded, and I don't know if that EpiPen company is, you have a legal fiduciary mandate to constantly be trying to increase your profit share for your investors. Like, you're legally mandated to always take every opportunity that you can to increase share. So, like, they kind of have to always do what they can to be making more money. Now, again, you can get into the very, you can get into the argument and back and forth as to whether or not that's morally right or whatever. Is capitalism itself evil? Is greed and it's greedy and so forth? And that's a discussion for another day. But they have to. If you're the head of a corporation like that, you've got to be doing everything you can to constantly be making people more money. So
I don't know
I would get
that
into,
you have to do that.
Well, you're saying they're being too ruthless. And it's like, it gets back to kind of like the woman on the North Shore that I just talked about. That like, no, you should go and just give $10,000 for property taxes because you've got it. And it's like, well, who would do that?
But
among us, raise your hand. You wouldn't do that?
Well, we're not. I still think, though, that's a different thing. That someone can get out of paying $15,000 versus someone who's looking at, you know, looking at their child and going, I've got to somehow find $600 I couldn't find before to get an EpiPen for my kid or for myself or whoever. Especially when it's like life, you know, it's life saving.
Well, it is, although I did look into that, and I guess there's been like 225, like on average, like 225 deaths a year, which breaks down to, like you were saying, like 0.00000005.
Statistically.
Yeah, like
statistically,
hardly any
no
people.
One has died. Well,
but,
the only thing that.
But the law does mandate that you have to give the school an EpiPen, and for that reason, yes, I do think that Colin Kaepernick is right. We need to overthrow the United States over this.
All right. And the red light is on. No, I'm just telling you, from personal experience, a $600 EpiPen, I work with a girl who has an EpiPen. And she's told me, like, look, if I ever go into that, what is it, epileptic shock? What was that?
Anaphylactic shock.
I need you to stab me with this EpiPen. Now you're handing Brian Jones a $600 EpiPen. I feel like I have absolutely got to get this right. There's something about it now being $600 as opposed to $30. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, wait a second, though. Like, don't you just jab it in their thigh?
That's
like,
what they not, say, but I
you,
feel
with your
like,
luck, you'll hit the femoral arteries and kill them. They'll bleed out.
I'm telling you, when she told me that, I was like, why are you telling me? Can't you just tell somebody else? There's plenty of other big, strong people in the office. Have them drive that thing into your thigh.
Yeah, I don't think it's like in Pulp Fiction when they put the, like the,
I know, but it's
the
just,
needle through Uma Thurman's sternum. Say that five times fast. Uma Thurman's sternum.
I'm just telling you, that does give me the shivers. Thinking,
has she showed you her EpiPen? I think that's
an
important step. I think you should date her.
I know this. Well, she's married, so that would
that
make
shouldn't
it awkward.
Stop you.
So now I have to save someone's wife. $600 and saving someone's wife?
Saving a life is one thing, but saving a wife?
That's a whole other ball of wax.